Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
To encounter a God who is real, who loves you, then you've come to the right place. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. The tomb is where they put Jesus after they crucified him and he died. It says here in verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." What a boss. Just rolled back the stone, sat on it. "His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." These are the Roman Praetorian Guard. They're experienced soldiers and they froze in terror. They like couldn't move. And it says here in verse 5, "But the angel answered and said to the women." So the men are frozen in fear. The angel has a conversation with the girls because they're always up for a chat. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And then he says these words which forever changed the course of human history. It says, "He is not here, for he is risen." You're not going to find him here. You're looking for a body, but you won't find him. And as he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." The angel said, "He is not here. He is risen." Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Well, I don't necessarily believe that a dead man can rise from the dead." I want to say this to you tonight, that this is no ordinary man. Whether you believe it or not, you're living in time in human history that is marked by this particular event. We're in 2019 AD. Do you understand? That whether you believe it or not, you're existing in a point in time that was marked by this particular event that forever changed the course of human history. The same words that the angel uttered to these women, "Go tell all the disciples, tell everybody that he is risen," still echo today. And I want to speak to you tonight on the thought, out of the grave. Out of the grave. The death of Jesus was not the scandal of the first century. The fact that Jesus died was not the big scandalous news, because how many of you know that every man dies? Seven of you believe that. Some of you think you'll live forever. Trust me, every man dies. Every woman dies. The scandal of the first century was not the fact that this Jesus, who claimed to be fully God and fully man, died. The Roman centurions got so sick of Jesus stirring up trouble. They had to I guess they were the police at the time. They had to police all of his behavior. They were so relieved when their fellow centurions nailed him to the cross and they saw him breathe his last breath and they thrust a spear into his side and blood and water flow mingled down that rickety cross. They were relieved that this Jesus was finally dead. The religious rulers of the day were relieved that Jesus died. There was no scandal that he died, because every man dies. They were relieved that this Jesus, who was stirring up trouble and forgiving people of their sins and accepting people just as they are, they were relieved that they finally pinned him to the cross and that he breathed his last breath, because now they can control society again with religious rules and dogma. The Roman Empire was relieved that they finally put this troublemaker to death. Because how many of you know he called himself the King of the Jews? But the Romans knew that only Caesar was the true ruler of the Jews. So who does this carpenter think he is to lay claim to the fact that he is the King of the Jews? Now we're relieved that he's dead. Everybody thought that they put away this Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be fully God and fully man. They thought that death won. But I'm here to tell you that death did not win. Death did not win. Death did not have the final say, because 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. There is nowhere that you can find his body. You can find the tombs and graves of dead religious icons all over the world, but you cannot find the body of Jesus. It has been documented everywhere. He is undeniably risen, because only God can rise from the dead. His resurrection caused all heaven to break loose over the earth. Did you know that the church didn't come into being at the point of Jesus' death. In fact, when Jesus died, all the disciples went into hiding, thinking that that Jesus had forgiven them of their sins and paid the price, and they'd received Jesus and they were saved, but they'd gone into hiding. The church only birthed into being when Jesus actually rose again. A power came into everyone who believed and put their trust in God. You need to catch this, that the cross proved that God was fully man, but the empty tomb proved that this man was actually fully God. Only full divinity made into flesh could die on the cross. But only flesh living as divinity could actually rise again after 3 days. I'm not talking about a resuscitation after your heart stops. I'm talking about being buried in a tomb. Come on, are you out there? Life came into him because he was God himself, and God conquers death. He's undeniably risen. He's undeniably risen. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15, written by a man called Paul, who never himself met Jesus. He only heard and believed in this Jesus who died and rose again. It says this in verse 3, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received," this news, "that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried." Most of us like to stop in the middle of verse 4. But the full gospel, full Easter message goes on to say this, "and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Jesus had told people about this. "And that he was seen by Cephas," or Peter, "then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once," and on it goes. They witnessed him alive. So the scandal of the first century wasn't the fact that people witnessed him dead. Everybody saw him breathe his last breath. Everybody knew that all men die. This is the end of some religious ruler, a religious leader. But the scandal of the first century was that so many people attested to seeing him alive. After 3 days, he rose again and he walked among people. The records of history verify this, that this would forever put to bed that he was the true ruler of heaven and earth. Only Jesus could conquer death after 3 days. Think about all the people that witnessed his resurrection. This was the complete gospel that so many of them died to defend, because persecution, punishment by the Roman rulers came not after Jesus died, but and people told others about Jesus dying, but persecution came after people started to witness him alive. They tried to crush down this truth, because maybe if this was actually true, that this man rose from the dead, he would actually be God and the game would change forever. So what they tried to suppress and crush was not the fact that Jesus died, but the fact that he rose again. They took people's heads off their shoulders. They fed them to lions. They crucified them upside down. They beat them to the point of death. Many of them gave up their lives because they refused to renounce what they witnessed to be true. And if they were to say anything else, they would be called a liar. Jesus walked among them and they understood this one particular truth, that the cross was a gospel worth living for, but the resurrection was a gospel worth dying for. It was at his resurrection that something birthed inside the human heart that professes to know Christ. That the cross is a gospel worth living for. But the fact that he's risen again, I'm going to give my life to that. And he's raising up a church where we won't be silent again and be quiet and have our own little religious thing. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a church that understands the true living message of Easter. That he died and he rose again for you and for me, to give us new life, and all of this as a gift, completely unconditionally. Completely unconditionally, that you can experience the reality of who God is tonight, right here in 2019 AD, Easter, by simply opening up your heart. It's a wild thing to think that anybody could be resurrected from the dead. In fact, Jesus, while he walked the earth, tried to explain at his very best. God himself tried to explain to people and was not very successful. He tried to explain to them that I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to forgive humanity of their sins. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again to prove that I am actually God, that I can actually pay the price and wipe away your sin. He explained that everywhere he went. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, the Bible said. And everyone looked at him like he had two heads. What even is this resurrection? What are you talking about? This is crazy. Like, people understand that you might stop breathing for a little bit and then suddenly come back to life again. You know, some of you are doing that right now as you're falling asleep and I'm preaching. We're not talking about some random resuscitation, right? Come on, are you out there? Clear? We're not talking about that. We're talking about coming back to life after 3 days dead. Jesus wanted to, he was telling people all about it, but they didn't get it. And so Jesus thought, well, I'm going to give them an object lesson and show them by raising someone from the dead after 4 days. I see what you're doing there, Jesus. Because if you could raise someone from the dead after 4 days, surely you can believe that he can raise himself from the dead after three. The Bible gives an account in John chapter 11 of a man by the name of Lazarus. When we're introduced to Lazarus, we don't really know much about his history, but what we do know is that him and his sisters were family friends of Jesus. They were also friends of the disciples, and so the Bible says that Lazarus had taken terminally ill. He was ill to the point of death. In fact, his family was so concerned about his sickness that they were worried that he might even last through the night. So they sent word to Jesus and his disciples that were about a day's travel away from where Lazarus was. And they said to Jesus, Jesus, you need to come quickly because Lazarus is ill to the point of death. You need to come heal him. They sent word and demanded that Jesus come heal Lazarus. To which Jesus said, that's interesting. Let's just hang out here for a little bit longer. How many of you know Jesus doesn't come at our beck and call sometimes? And he sometimes makes us wait. He works on his own divine plan and timing, not ours. And so we don't know if we were to just read the story and don't know the end, why Jesus would have done it. But a lot of us here have read John chapter 11. We know how this ends. But I can tell you now, if you were in the story, you don't know how this is going to play out. So Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they were desperate. And Mary and Martha particularly, because they sent word for Jesus. You'd think that, you know, if we were family friends, we would qualify for mates rates healing. I mean, you know what that is, mates rates healing? Do you know what I mean? If I'm friends with you, Jesus, my prayer gets to the top of the pile. Ignore everyone else. I jump the queue. Come on, how many of you have prayed that prayer before? Let me go first. You guys are looking at me like I'm the only heathen in all of the southern suburbs of Perth at the 6 p.m. service. Right? They thought, well, we qualify for mates rates healing. We can surely, you can come quickly. All right, we know that you got important things to do where you are healing other people and stuff, but we're your friends. Come quickly. To which Jesus actually stays where he's at and allows Lazarus to die. On the first day that Jesus tarries, Lazarus dies. To which you can imagine his loved ones thinking, well, Jesus is going to come. You know, Jesus is powerful. We believe that he's God. He's the Son of God. And he can raise Lazarus after a day because Lazarus is probably still feeling a little bit warm. On the second day, it's starting to look a bit grim. They're going to have to embalm him. No, Jesus. On the third day, he's not here. We need to put him in a tomb. On the fourth day, his body starts to decompose. That rolled a 2-ton tombstone in front of the tomb, and they can still smell the stench as they stand outside wailing, as it was appropriate in Jewish culture. A week long of mourning, wailing. Jesus, on the fourth day, shows up. Thanks, Jesus. Jesus knew that he had the power to conquer death. Doctors can heal people, but only God can raise people from the dead after 4 days. It says here in John chapter 11, so he was using this as an object lesson to prove that he would do as he did in Matthew chapter 25. It says in John 11 verse 41, so now they took away the stone. This is the stone where they put Lazarus and he was buried in the tomb. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. In other words, all the people witnessing, I'm saying this because they didn't believe me when I talked about the resurrection, but they will now. Yeah. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary, who'd heard Jesus speak about this resurrection, had no clue what he said. Now, they'd seen what Jesus did, and now they finally believed in him. Jesus is saying, I've been trying to tell you guys that I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to show you what that looks like by conquering death after 4 days. And he called, Lazarus, come out. Give my Lazarus a big hand. If you read the text, you would have been observant to see that it says the dead man came out and his hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. It's a serious moment, Lazarus. Please help me. This is what Jesus was trying to teach everyone that was witnessing this moment. That Jesus has the power to conquer death. But just because he awakens life in us, it doesn't mean that we often do life unbound and free. Jesus said, come out. Lazarus came out. He didn't walk out. I can imagine him hopping out like my Lazarus did. But Jesus actually said, turns to Lazarus again and says, you need to get free from the grave clothes now that you're alive. I want to say this to you tonight. Jesus died not just so you could be saved. He rose again not just so you could come alive on the inside, but he also commanded your grave clothes to fall off. All of the things that keep you bound. He died and rose again so you could be free. All of the things that even though you have a semblance of life on the inside, there are still things that maybe you've allowed to be attached to yourself. All that addiction, all that pain, all that anxiety, all that offense, all that bitterness. Maybe you've allowed those things to remain attached to yourself. This Easter, I want to say this to you. Grave clothes don't look good on you. Get rid of them. To which Jesus commanded, set him free from the grave clothes. And this is what you need to understand. All of the witnesses that were standing there around Lazarus, you need to catch this. Jesus died and rose again to save you and set you free, but he set around you a community of people, come on, that'll help to remove your grave clothes, to pray with you, to journey with you, to water baptize you, to lay hands on you, to encourage you, to call you, to text you, to say, hey, don't give up. You know those things that you keep holding on to? You don't need to hold on to those things. This Easter, don't just eat chocolate eggs and some hot cross buns. Deal with those grave clothes once and for all. It doesn't look good on you. And you know, as we journey through life at times, we understand the event of Easter. Yes, it changed the course of human history, but we forget to apply the power and live in it day to day. And so May comes, July comes, August comes, stuff just happens. And we start to reacquaint ourselves with our grave clothes. Yes. It's all too familiar. I'm going to reach for it. That addiction, I'm going to start playing. I'm going to start dipping my toe into that again. And those toxic thoughts, I'm going to start to, because it just feels a little bit familiar. And come on, are you out there? I want to say this to you this Easter, get rid of them once and for all. They don't belong on you. Come on, are you out there? You've got a risen Savior that commands you out of the grave and also out of your grave clothes. I'm so glad that tonight, all of this life that Jesus demonstrated that Lazarus was going to experience is available through him who went to the cross on our behalf, who conquered death after 3 days. What did the women go out to tell the disciples? The women went out to tell the disciples who were saved but were defeated. They went out to tell them that Jesus is alive. They can now step into and truly live out the definition of being a Christian, which is victorious and overcomer. Come on, are you out there? I am so glad that this Easter, I don't just have to be saved, even though being saved is amazing, but I can stand here having done away with all of my grave clothes, those things that hold me back. I don't need to be that old man anymore. I don't need to live with all that stuff anymore. All of the things that have held me back, I don't need to take them into my future. That's what Jesus said, Lazarus, even though you've come out with grave clothes, you don't have to live your fifth day with grave clothes on. You're done with it. Give my Lazarus a big hand. That's what I love about water baptism. What we're going to be seeing and witnessing is people making a public declaration of their faith. The reason why we baptize people like what we do, we call it full immersion, is what the Bible instructs for us to do. It identifies with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The word baptize is the word baptizo. It's a Greek word which speaks about, it comes from textile dyeing, and that whole act of dyeing cloth. So they would take these pieces of linen, that were kind of off-white, and textile merchants would dip them in these pots of dye, red and blue and yellow and purple. And the whole idea is that they would take these long sheets of cloth and baptizo them in the dye. And as they pulled it out, it would look completely different, never to return to the way that it looked before it went into the pots of dye. And so tonight, what I love about water baptism is that you're literally going to be seeing people that are identifying with the death of Jesus and raised up into new life. And you're literally going to see grave clothes wash off them once and for all. They're going to come out of that little spa pool, leaving their grave clothes behind. All of the things, it's a determination in our hearts that I want to live completely free and in a new future as a new creation. That's what I love about water baptism, and that is the power of Easter Resurrection Sunday. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Before we witness the water baptisms, why don't you cast your eyes on the screen now as the lights fade and we see this testimony from this young man.
Hey, I'm Caleb Daly. I'm 17. I'm a student and I've been at Nations for 3 years now. Just over a year ago, I got baptized at Nations Church. And the journey that I've gone through just over this past 3 months has been rough. Things got harder. Anxiety got harder. There were days where I wouldn't want to get out of bed, and they're just things got a lot more tougher. But it didn't get easier, but it did get better, because I suddenly had confidence in God. And before I got baptized, he was silent, and I never heard him speak until months after I got baptized, he started to speak. And confidence in knowing that he was working through me and speaking to me and that he was real was greater than any of my worries, any of my anxieties, any of my doubts, any of the things I was going through at school. And so it might get harder, it might not be easier, but it's always going to be better. And that's my confidence in Jesus Christ. On the day I got baptized, I had one testimony, and it was kind of the one reason I wanted to get closer to Jesus. But ever since, months afterwards, every day there's been a new testimony. Every day there's been another reason. I can't give you just one reason that I want to get baptized. I now can give you hundreds, because every day he's doing something new. And every morning he makes me new. He gives me a reason to get up. He gives me a reason to push onwards, to go through another year, to go through another season, because he's bringing in a harvest every day. It's not just seasons of harvest and seasons of growing. He's doing it every day, growing and harvesting. I can't give you one reason get baptized today, because I can give you hundreds. So please, if you have any doubts, if you have any worries about doing it, if you're not sure, I can assure you there's so much more in it. It's not just going through water and coming out the other side. It's a spiritual rebirth. And there's so much growth and so much harvest that can come out of that one decision.
Wonderful. It's a spiritual rebirth. So special, isn't it? I've seen that 4 times and I still get a bit emotional. So who's ready to see some water baptisms tonight? I'd like to invite up Pastor Rick Van Sant, our campus pastor, and Gary Wenham to come and join me here in the pool. Gary's one of our elders here at our Murray campus, and Pastor Rick is a campus pastor here. And it's always such a great privilege. Nice legs, guys. Well, first one up tonight that we're going to be water baptizing is Jess Sieber. Give Jess a big hand as she comes. Hi, Jess. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Can you tell me what he means to you?
Pretty much everything. Yeah.
Can you tell me why you're deciding to be water baptized tonight?
Well, I've always been Christian. I just feel like this is the next step in my relationship with him. So, yeah.
Awesome. How old are you, Jess?
15.
Your family's here?
Yes.
Oh, with all the cameras. Wonderful. You ready to be baptized? Yeah, would you stretch your hands out to Jess? Close your eyes. Jess, according to the confession of your faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for you, Jess. Yeah? Come on and stretch your hands out. Awesome. Is Louisa here? Yeah, Louisa, come and pray.
Awesome. Father God, we just thank you so much for your beautiful daughter in whom you are so pleased with, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this step of obedience and faith to not only just make a public declaration of her faith for you, Lord Father God, but Lord, for you to just move in her life more and more. We thank you for the great plans and purposes you have for her, for the journey she is about to take, Lord Father God. We thank you for the new life that you've given to her, Lord Father God, and that she is completely transformed from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come on, give Jess a big hand. Good girl, so proud of you. Next up is Jesse Langman. Give Jesse a big hand. Hey, Jesse. Do you love Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us what he means to you?
He means that no matter how long I'll take to come to him, he'll always wait for me and always accept me.
Can you tell us why you want to be water baptized tonight?
Because I want to be closer to God.
That's a good enough reason. You know what? From this moment on, your life will change forever, Jesse. God loves you. You've got a great call of God on your life. You know that. Yeah? Would you stretch your hands out to Jesse? Jesse, according to the confession of your faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for you, Jesse. Just stretch your hands out to Jesse. Matt Hennigan, would you come?
Thank you, Father. Come on, let's stretch our hands out. Father, we thank you for this mighty young man, God. Father, I just ask that you to anoint his life right now, Father God. Father, would he be marked by your Spirit tonight, Father God? Would he be marked? Would his destiny be changed, Father God, because of his decision to follow you? God, I thank you, Father God, and we honor you for the decision to put you first in his life. God, I pray that you'd bless everything that he puts his hands to, Father God. Would he emulate Jesus in every sphere of his life, Lord God? And would your light shine through him in everything that he does, Lord God? Would he go from glory to glory and from strength to strength, Father God? Would he grow in the knowledge of you, Lord God? Would he grow in a closeness with you? Would he hear your voice? And would he be an example, Lord God, of sonship to a generation? Would he be an example of what it looks like to be a child of God? Bless Jesse, and we pray your anointing over him now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
So proud of you, bro. So good. Come on, give Jesse another big hand. Great young man. Great young man. Melinda Bryson, give Melinda a big hand. Awesome. You're doing good. Melinda, do you love Jesus?
I do love Jesus.
Can you tell us, I'm going to ask you a different question. Can you tell us what Jesus has done for you?
He just hasn't given up on me. Yeah, no matter how many times I've tried to run away from him in thinking that I know what's best for me and what's going to make me happy, nothing's brought me as much peace as he has. And he's just always been there for me in the darkest times. And I'm just, yeah, I'm so grateful for everyone he's brought to me. And yeah, it's just amazing.
Why do you want to be water baptized tonight?
I just feel like it's time. I just feel like it's time, and I've grown to know him a lot more in the last 6 months. And I've pushed and pulled, and there's just no going back now. It's only moving forward with him, and I just can't wait to see what else he can do in my life, and I can't wait to just feel his grace and get closer to him, and I know that nothing will make me happier.
Wonderful. Have you got family here tonight?
Yeah.
So good. So good. Melinda, this is not like an arrival point. It's actually the beginning point of a brand new. God is going to lead you to wide open expanses. I really believe that you're gonna be leading many, many people to this peace that you've experienced yourself, this joy that you've experienced yourself. Yeah? You ready to be baptized? Yeah? Just close your eyes. Stretch your hands out to Melinda. According to the confession of your faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just stay here for a second. I'm going to pray for you. Come on, just stretch your hands out. Claire, can we have just Kristen, just some church sisters of faith, come and stand around here. We're going to pray.
Yeah, come on, why don't you lift your hands and towards Melinda. Lord, we just thank you for Melinda's life, Lord God. We thank you for the incredible woman of God that she is and that she's becoming, Lord God. We just thank you that this is the beginning of an incredible life in you, Lord God, a life of influence and a life of just great mentorship to other young girls. Lord, we thank you that you've never given up on her and you're not going to start now, Lord God, that this is just the beginning of something new, that tonight as she went through the waters of baptism, she let go of everything that's ever held her back, and she's stepping forward into a new life of running after you, Lord God, running into the plans and the purposes and the goodness that you have for her, Lord God. We thank you that nothing she could ever do or not do could ever separate her from your love, that you could never love her any more than you do right in this moment, Lord God, that she doesn't need to do anything to earn your love or your acceptance, Lord God, that you love her as she is. We thank you for blessing and favor to follow her all the days of her life. Everything that she puts her hand to would prosper, would be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Give Melinda a big hand. These girls are going to help you out of the pool. So good. Next up is Kyra B. Give Kyra a big hand. What a big moment for you, Kyra, huh? Yeah, don't feel overwhelmed. God's here, we're all here. We're all here, yeah. Can you tell me what Jesus has done for you?
Proved what love is. There's no words.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Tell me why you want to be water baptized tonight.
I wanted something physical to match the spiritual feeling.
So good. Have you got family here?
No, kind of.
You've got lots of, I think you're wrong, because you've got lots of brothers and sisters and church mums and dads that are just cheering for you. Yeah? You ready to be water baptized? Yeah? Just close your eyes. Stretch your hands out to Kyra. According to the confession of your faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So proud of you. Can we pray for you, Kyra? Yeah, just stretch your hands out to Kyra.
Father, we thank you for your beautiful daughter. Father God, even when she didn't know you, you knew her, Father God. I thank you. It's not by chance that she finds herself in your house. It's not by chance that she finds herself undone by your love, Father God. And I just pray in this moment, it'd be a line in the sand moment, Father God. I pray as she gets out of this pool, Father God, the manifestation of your love in her life would increase, Father God. That grace, that strength, that peace would increase, Father God. I pray that you would align her with your divine purpose, Father God, for the purposes with which you created her, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that she would be affirmed and assured and never look back, Father God, that she knows that she is a daughter of the Most High God, Father, and that she is alive for a reason, for a purpose, for a mission, plans to prosper her and not to harm her, Father God. And we just declare together as a church family that you're going to do more than she could ask or think or imagine, Father, according to your power at work in her and for your glory, Father God. We bless her. We bless her. We ask that your love would just envelop her, Father God. Protect her. Lord, would you make your face to shine upon her, bless her, keep her. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Give Kyra a big hand. So proud of you, Kyra. Come on, another big hand for everyone that got water baptized tonight. Jess and Jesse. And Melinda and Kyra. Come on, stand to your feet, everyone. What a great privilege it is to witness these moments, hey? You know, we have moments like this throughout the year. Today, across all our Perth campuses, about 35 people said yes to this phenomenal act. And can tell you what, we must never be over-familiar with moments like this. We must never be sick of it. We must never treat it as common. Every single person has an incredible story. Jesus died and rose again for them all. Amen. Can we give Jesus another big shout of praise for all that he's done in the lives of so many? A final four here at our Myrie campus. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment? I would just like to ask you to ponder, reflect on what you've heard and seen tonight. I don't know where you're at with what you believe, but maybe you're here today and you've never experienced the reality of Jesus. You've never experienced, you never opened up your heart and been able to say what Kyra's just said, that show me what love is. God, show me what love is. Or maybe you're here tonight and maybe you feel far from God, and this Easter you find yourself back in a church service and you don't know where your heart is at with God. And you don't even know whether God can receive you back again or take you back or love you again, because you think you've done all of these things and it's going to cause a chasm to come between you and God. I want to say this to you tonight. All that you need to do is just open up your heart and respond to Him. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to simply ask Jesus into your heart to forgive you of all the things you've done and give you a brand new life, or maybe simply to come back to Him. I'm going to count to three. There's nothing religious you need to do. All you need to do is respond by putting your hand up so I can see it. One, two, three. Just lift your hand if that's you. I see that hand over there. Thank you, sir. It takes great courage. I see two hands. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Two hands. Is there anybody else? You're worth waiting for. Jesus loves you so much. You don't need to leave this gathering tonight. The same person that you were as when you walked in. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just respecting this moment. Is there a third person that would like to join these two gentlemen? I see a third hand over there, wonderful. And a fourth hand. Good on you, mate. I see that, sir. God sees you. I see a fifth hand over there. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. I see a sixth hand over there, wonderful. Is there anybody else? God loves you so much. There's nothing religious you need to do. It's just opening up your heart, responding, yeah, say, hey, that's me, that's me. Is there anybody else? You're worth waiting for. You're worth waiting for. Our leaders have seen you. But just in case we missed you, for those of you that have put your hand up, would you one more time, just put your hand up, every head bowed. Just put your hand up, respect your privacy. If that's you that put your hand up, put it up one more time so I can see it. Yeah. Yeah, great. Great. Our leaders can see you. Our leaders can see you. We're going to do something right now. We're going to say a prayer. And because we're a church family, we're going to do this all together, yeah? And when I say a phrase, you repeat after me. And if you've put your hand up particularly, you pray it from your heart. That's all you need to do. Come on. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died and you rose again for me. Lord Jesus, tonight, I ask you to forgive me of all that I've done, of all of my sins. Wipe away all of my past and give me a brand new future in you. Lord Jesus, tonight I invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And I thank you that from this moment, I am a new creation. And I have a new life in you, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you know, moments like these are so special because they're so deeply personal. God loves you so much. Your life will never be the same again if you responded by putting your hand up. Our leaders would love to give you a Bible. Our pastors would love to give you a Bible. Just say a prayer with you and just connect with you and make sure that if you have any questions that they can answer that for you. You know what? You don't need to join our church. You don't need to. There's nothing religious you need to do. You don't need to pay a fee or anything like that. People have asked me the craziest things, right? But find yourself a church somewhere where you can be connected to so people can help you on your journey like you saw with Lazarus. And you're most welcome to be part of this one. But I tell you what, your life will never be the same again. That is the power of the Easter message, that Jesus is alive and he's alive in you. Amen. Why don't we just bow our heads one more time, close our eyes. Christians, I want to speak with you tonight. Maybe in your heart you know that God's real and that he's called you out of the grave. But of late you found yourself, instead of walking through life, you're kind of hopping a little bit because you're still bound by stuff that you thought you'd got over. Maybe here today, if you were to be honest with yourself, you're carrying some things into this Easter 2019 that you know you should not be carrying. Those things don't look good on you. They don't belong on you. Maybe you're here tonight and the stuff that you even feel a little bit ashamed that you're still struggling with it. Maybe you've picked it up again and you've reacquainted yourself with some of these things. I want to say this to you tonight. This Easter 2019, get rid of those grave clothes once and for all. They don't belong on you. And Jesus didn't just come to save you. He came to set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And tonight, if that's you and you're saying, this Easter, I'm going to get rid of these grave clothes. I'm going to step out of them. You come quickly out of your seat. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. There's freedom here. I want to pray with you. There's nothing magical about a geographical change in location. But you're saying, this Easter, I'm stepping out of those grave clothes. I'm going to walk free this Easter. Come on. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.